Thank you to those of you that are joining us, prayer and fasting and a little bit extra effort between now and Easter Sunday. If you could take Tuesdays and Wednesdays and in your own way, fast before the Lord in some way, you and God work that out. But just kind of let the Lord know I'm making an extra effort because we want to see the power of God poured out here on Easter Sunday. We don't want to wait till then, but we want Easter Sunday to be special. When you consider there will be people here on Easter that maybe they don't even go to church any other time, but a special occasion, and we want them to experience more than just the story of Easter. We want them to experience the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. I know it was mentioned before, but please invite somebody. You can grab an invite card or even a church card. It's got the picture, directions on the back, and you can let people know they need to be at Heaven View on Easter Sunday morning. In fact, in a moment, we'll stand and pray and ask the Lord to use us to connect with somebody right now in our community that this is their Easter for a transformation. This is their season for God to respond to their need. You know how it is. There just seems to be that perfect time when God is reaching out to that one that you may have an influence with. We want the Lord to make a difference. Would you stand right now? Let's pray that we would be out there inviting, and that as we're inviting, the Spirit would be leading. I guarantee you, when they get here on Easter Sunday, you'll be glad that you invited them. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, lead us to those that right now in their life, they need a miracle. Lead us to those that right now in their family situation, they need a transformation that only you can do. Jesus, anoint our efforts and help us, God, to connect in the next 2 weeks with people that need to know you in a special way. God, let us see a great work, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. I want to direct your attention to the New Testament, the book of Galatians, while you're turning there. All our life group leaders, would you just wave your hand? Just wave your hand and keep waving it. Look around. Look around. If you're not a life group leader waving your hand, look around. Any one of these people want you to know you're invited to their house this Friday night. If you got no plans, you need to be at one of these folks. Oh, some people put their hands down. No. But if you'll go to one of them, anybody's welcome. Thank you for helping us to attend one of these life group meetings this Friday night. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome in Jesus' name. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 14. The scripture says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Of course, the King James Version is the most accurate English translation we have of the Bible. But sometimes other translations help us understand a little bit more clearly. So I want to read that same passage from the New Living Translation. It says, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. I'm going to start something tonight, today, and maybe finish next week, Lord willing, but I just want to preach to you from this passage, when I see the cross. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus, right now, we want your Spirit to make a difference in our lives. We want your power, Lord, to impact us right now. We want to see your will accomplished, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise your name, oh God. We bless your name, oh God. We glorify your name, oh God. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Brother Bibb, thank you for joining us on the platform today. Brother Bibb is one of our longest serving elders, and recently he had an injury that the doctors are not sure what it all is involved, but it affects his walking and standing. And we're praying for you, Brother Bibb, because God's got plenty more for you to accomplish for him. And we're going to make sure that we're praying for God to touch you. So I don't want you to respond to the preaching the way you normally do. Just kind of take it easy, because we don't want nobody getting hurt up here. No, but God's going to touch him. We believe that. Amen. In Jesus' name. Certainly, as we stand on the edge of another Easter, and without getting distracted, perhaps our last Easter, Jesus is coming that soon. Certainly, we are all reminded of the love of Jesus, and not just the way that he loves us, but I believe if you could survey this congregation, there is an absolute affection for Jesus Christ and Calvary. Can I get an amen? Amen. We love him because he first loved us. And although we are consumed with that reality throughout our lives, there's something about this season that helps us, and no doubt there are many others that even more so will focus on the love of Jesus as displayed through the power and the sacrifice of his cross. One of the greatest verses that we can look at, and there's so many, but some of you could quote this one from John 15. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. This season we celebrate the love of Jesus Christ, because there is no greater love than the love of Jesus for his people. And there is no greater account or description or proof, if you will, of how great his love is than that the fact that he died for the sins of every single one of us. And I just want you to know that you're in one of those old-fashioned churches that believe that the love of Jesus and the power of the cross is still changing lives every time somebody turns their heart towards him. The scripture says no greater love, and we profess again and again that his greater love is greater than confusion. His greater love is greater than loneliness. His greater love is greater than fear. Whoever you are in this sanctuary, if you feel like you're standing alone and facing the world by yourself, look to the cross today and recognize there is no greater love than the love of Jesus. And if you feel like nobody loves you, embrace the love of Jesus and believe with me that his greater love is greater than emptiness and greater than depression and greater than sickness and greater than darkness and greater than addiction and greater than sin. Greater love hath no man than this. Praise God. One songwriter said, his grace is greater than our failures. His peace runs deeper than our fears. If we go to him in mercy, our hearts can rest assured. His love will keep us through our tears. The scripture says it this way in John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. There is no greater love than the love of Jesus Christ. And we see that love when we see the cross. Romans 5 says it this way, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm reaching for somebody that feels disconnected from Jesus, maybe just because of life, or perhaps what people have done to you, or maybe what you have done to yourself. But let me tell you, we have all been there, and all of us from time to time need a fresh revelation. Look to the cross and see the proof of the love of God, which is shed abroad through the Holy Ghost in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you and me. When I see the cross, I see his love for me. When I see the cross, I see his sacrifice for me. When I see the cross, I see his commitment for me. And so what I am saying is, as we race through this season, let something in your spirit say, I want to see the cross all over again in my life, until what I see in the cross changes everything about how I live. Now, I think it's important to consider that there are those who do not see what we see when we see the cross. We should be honest about that and pray that everyone would see the cross today. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. One translation speaks of that passage in these terms. So we preach that Christ was crucified. The Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. That was the attitude of the culture of that day, even amongst religious people. The cross is foolish, or even the cross is offensive. Is it possible that as we consider the culture that we're a part of, that not everybody sees what we see when we see the cross? The next verse says this, but to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. I know that when some see the cross, they don't see what we see. But when we see the cross, we're not ashamed to tell you, we see the power of God. Because I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. It was the power of that cross that rescued me. When we see the cross, I know it may sound crazy, but we see the wisdom of God in providing a way of escape. Even before the world began, the Lord knew that he would robe himself in flesh and come to this earth to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. When we see the cross, we see the love of God. That's why Paul could proclaim, and it's so powerful, we may have to take a couple of weeks to focus on it. He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. One translation, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was saying, when I see the cross, it's like the old songwriter said, when I look to Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. When I see the cross, I realize that a lot of the stuff that the people in this world are impressed with, they don't impress me near as much as the cross. When I see the cross, Paul said, a lot of the things that the world focuses on, those things don't matter to me as much as realizing Jesus loved me enough to die for me. I see that when I see the cross. And so my question is this, and I know we're in a culture where so many have heard this message, but not everybody knows. Not everybody sees what you see. Is it possible that somewhere in this congregation today, somebody needs a revelation of the cross. I want to see the cross. I want to see the cross. Is it possible that when we consider that Jesus loved you and loved me so much that he died for us? Is it possible that somewhere in a crowd this size, there's somebody feeling like, you know what? I don't think anybody loves me. I don't think anybody cares for me. And yet if they could see the cross today, they could receive a revelation. I wonder if you could raise a hand or maybe raise your voice and say, Jesus, help me and help everybody here to see the cross today. Jesus, I know it's just pastor preaching, but let something happen by your spirit that even those of us that have heard about the cross from the time we were very small or even children, that we would embrace a fresh revelation. When I see the cross, everything changes. And so from Isaiah 53, the prophet is looking forward through the Spirit of God speaking to him, and he sees the cross. And he says concerning Jesus Christ, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. When we see the cross, we see the crown of thorns. When we see the cross, we see the spear in his side. When we see the cross, we see the beatings. We see the mockings. We see the scourgings. When we see the cross, we see the nails in his hand and the nails in his feet. But when we see the cross, we see he did it all for me. He loved me enough to die for my sins. And when I see the cross, I am reminded we are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. When I see the cross, I see the blood of Jesus. I see the love of Jesus. I see the grace of Jesus. Oh, that we would see the cross. I know it sounds old-fashioned. I know for some it may even sound crazy. But you can be saved today because of the cross. You see, when I see the cross, I realize that repentance connects me with the death of Jesus Christ. Repentance links me up with Calvary in a supernatural way. It's not just a story. It's not just history. It's interactive. He died for me, so I repent of my sins. Look at Acts 3, picking up at verse 18. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ Jesus should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Calvary was part of God's plan from the beginning. And what is our response? Look at the next verse. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And if you repent, look what the next verse says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. When I see the cross, I don't just hear an ancient story. I don't just see an old picture. picture, but I see the reality that if I will repent of my sins, it doesn't matter how sinful I've been. It doesn't matter who knows about my sin. It doesn't matter how long I've sinned. But if I will repent, the cross will connect me with the grace of God, and he will forgive me of all my sins. And if I repent, he will send Jesus Christ, the one that died on the cross, will show up in my life if I will repent. That's what I see when I see the cross. I know it's old-fashioned. I know some think it's crazy. But when I see the cross, I see repentance. And when I see the cross, I see baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Because baptism connects me with the burial of Jesus Christ. It's not just a story. It's not just ancient history. But baptism helps me connect with Calvary in a way that is supernatural. Look at Romans 6, picking up at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. When I see the cross, I see the amazing and supernatural connection. When we take someone back to this baptismal pool and we bury them in water in the name of Jesus Christ, at that moment when they're baptized, they are buried with him. They are connecting with Calvary afresh and anew. And the beautiful thing is, once we die with him, we raise up with him in newness of life. All your past is gone. All your sins are gone. All your mistakes are washed away. When I see the cross, when I see the cross, praise God. I know there are some good people and great churches that have stepped away from baptism. It's kind of inconvenient. In fact, maybe logistically it's not possible for some buildings to even have a baptismal pool. But we got one here. And we got robes ready. We got elders ready to baptize. You don't have to be a member of this church to be baptized in Jesus' name. Because baptism is not about church membership. Baptism is about the cross. Baptism is about Calvary. Baptism about Jesus loving me so much that he died for my sins. And when I'm baptized, he washes my sins away. Anytime in this message you start coming down that aisle over here, one of these elders are going to say, wait a minute, he or she wants to get baptized. We're not going to flip out. We're not going to call the police. But we've got a baptismal team ready. They're going to walk you back through that door where we have changing rooms. You can leave your dry clothes that you brought in with you right there in the changing room. You can put on a robe that's ready for you to be baptized. We'll bring you right back out here where everybody can see you, and we'll baptize you in the name of Jesus. Because when I see the cross, I see Jesus making a way so that all of our sins can be forgiven and all of our sins can be washed away. When I see the cross, I know it's old-fashioned. I know it even sounds crazy. But when I see the cross, I see that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit connects us with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that just as he raised up from the dead, our dead life, our old life cannot hold on to us anymore. when we are filled with the Spirit, speaking with other tongues, just like they did in the Bible. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Holy Ghost is not just for Pentecostals. The Holy Ghost is not just for Christians. The Holy Ghost is for anybody that hears the call of God, for anybody that acknowledges there is a God and he died to save me. He came to this earth in the flesh of Jesus Christ and he went to the cross that I might be saved. But the good news is he did not just die, but he rose again on the third day. And if I get his Spirit inside of me, even if I die, I will live again. Oh, you ought to clap your hands as if to say, that's what I see when I see the cross. Oh, as you clap your hands, would you shout with your voice? Would you lift up your voice as if to say, when I see the cross? Praise God. Look at Romans 8, verse number 11. But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now you can say you're a believer. You can say you're a Christian. You can say you've accepted the Lord as your Savior. But until you get his Spirit inside of you, you are not prepared to live after you die. Because it's the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead that's got to get inside of you so that when you die or when the Lord comes, that same Spirit is going to make your body alive. It's going to make you live when you should be dead. My brothers and sisters, when I see the cross, I see the reality that you don't have to be afraid of death. In fact, if you've lost a loved one that was ready to meet the Lord, I want to promise you, you're going to see that loved one again, because death no longer has a sting. Death no longer has victory over us, because Jesus conquered death. Jesus conquered hell. Jesus conquered the grave. And when I see the cross, something inside of me says, I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Spirit of God to change my life. I know some may doubt it, but I see it. I know some may deny it, but I see it. I know some may even mock, but when I see the cross, I see salvation for anyone and everyone. And around the world, people from all walks of life are being saved by the cross. There are people right now that come from parts of the world where they're not even allowed to mention the name of Jesus, where if they catch you converting someone to Christianity, they can kill you or imprison you. But even in those places, the power of the cross is penetrating. We have missionaries in our own fellowship that have come across Muslims that will say, I was asleep in my bed, but I had a dream, and in my dream, I could see Jesus, and a voice spoke and said, I'm your God. I'm the one that died for you. I'm the one that's here to save you. And there are people from all walks of life that are discovering the cross is real. Jesus is real. The power of God is real. And if it can happen around the world, it can happen in Winston-Salem for anybody that will say, I see it. I see it. I see it. I see the cross. Oh, would you clap your hands? And would you lift your voice? And would you shout? And so I think you figured it out. It doesn't take a lot of mystery. My preaching's not all that deep. But my hope is that you will see the cross today. My hope is that you will see his love today. My hope is that you will see his plan today. And you'll say, I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ. I want to repent of my sins. I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I see it. I see the cross. And you say, in Jesus' name. The year was 1912. An evangelist was traveling the country. His name was George Bernard. He was preaching in Michigan. And while he was preaching throughout the whole revival, there was a group of young people that visibly, audibly heckled him throughout the preaching. In other words, that's nonsense. That's crazy. Look at that old man up there sweating, screaming his lungs out. That's crazy stuff. All the while, this evangelist is preaching. Oh, I hope you would know Jesus. I hope you would see the cross. I hope that you would know the love of God. And all the while he's preaching, somebody's making fun. Somebody's saying, that's crazy. Somebody's saying, I got my life together. I don't need any of that. And Brother Bernard, way back in the early 1900s, as he saw their disregard for Calvary, and he saw their disrespect for the love of a Savior that would die for the sins of mankind, he was inspired to write a song. And these are the words. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. And he sang, so I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. That's what I see when I see the cross. Somebody may see what time it is, and somebody may see their lunch plans. But when I see the cross, that's what I see. And that old preacher, in his mind, he could hear those young people making fun of him. And he could see the way they laughed while he preached for their souls. And so he penned the next verse. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wonderful attraction to me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood, so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. What do you see when you see the cross today? Could you raise a hand? Could you raise a hand? What do you see when you see the cross today? Could your hand be raised as though you're a testimony of one of those that would say, to the old rugged cross, I will ever be true, in shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. Oh, with your hand raised, could you say those words? So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Come on, some may mock the cross, but we will cherish the cross. Some may doubt the cross, but we will cherish the cross. And I will not boast about my job. I will boast about the cross. I will not boast about my hobbies. I will boast about the cross. I will not boast about the size of my church. I will boast about the cross. I will not boast about the car I drive. I will boast about the cross. I will not boast about this world. I will boast about the cross. And when the world sees a church in love, enamored with the cross, in this wicked, in this crazy culture, they will say, I see it. I see it. I see it. I see his love. I see his grace. I see his blood. I see the cross. I see it, I'll repent. I'll see it, I'll be baptized. I'll see it, I'll seek to be filled with His Spirit. I see it, I'll give my life to Him. Would you stand with me right now? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If the Lord is speaking to you to repent of your sins, in just a moment when we all come to this altar, I beg you to see the cross and come and repent. If the Lord is speaking to you to be baptized in His name, don't put it off another service. Be baptized today, calling upon the name of Jesus and having your sins washed away. If you see it, don't put it off. When we all come forward, let one of these elders know, I see it. I see the cross. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, you've never spoken with other tongues, when we come forward in just a few moments, would you come with everybody else and say, Jesus, fill me. Jesus, thrill me. Jesus, change me. I see the cross. And if you serve the Lord, and if you have embraced the cross years ago, would you join us at the altar with the apostles' prayer today? And that prayer is this: as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, let my interest in this world be crucified as I see the cross again and afresh. The altars are open. Everybody's invited to come. The altars are open. This is not just for members. This is for any believer to come and say, I see the cross. I see the cross. I see the cross, and it's changing my life. I see the cross, and it's changing my focus. I see the cross, and it changes everything. In Jesus' name. Oh, the Come on, would you reach out to the Lord? Come on, if you need a miracle, the cross has purchased your healing. The cross has purchased your salvation. The cross has purchased your deliverance. The cross has purchased your victory.